guten Morgen. Guten Morgen allerseits. Willkommen auf den Chemnitzer Linux-Tagen. Hallo Michi. Du bist hier in dem Raum unser erster Referent heute zu DevSecOps-Themen. Und du stellst dich selber vor und euch viel Spaß.
Dankeschön. Ich werde den Vortrag auf Englisch machen, außer es gibt Bedenken dagegen. So switching to English also for the live stream so that everyone can follow along. If you missed something during the talk or if you have any questions, I would ask you to ask the question afterwards. So I will make sure to that there's enough time, and there's also the slides with a QR code at the end, so it's publicly accessible so that everyone can benefit from it. In the session today, I will only touch on anything that is open source, so there's no enterprise and something inside, but certainly could be helpful. It's about efficient DevSecOps workflows and one thing around reusable CI/CD components. I'm Michael. I'm with GitLab for roughly 5 years now as a developer advocate. If you want to find me online, I go as DNS Michi, which is the lovely version of Michael. And when I joined GitLab, I figured it doesn't really work in English, but everyone is kind to try to pronounce that. So I stay with that, what I learned back in Austria at the University of Vienna back then, DNS and stuff. But today it's not about really about me. It's the question, like, where are you in your DevSecOps journey, like development lifecycle, from planning, creating, verifying, testing, securing, and other things. And one of the probably problematic things is like to consider what is the most inefficient task. There might be many of them or some of them. And one of them I want to touch today is around CI/CD and automated testing, and how to get more efficient in that regard. So what is efficient DevSecOps? What does it mean? Generally, we would say it's all about speed. So we want to speed it up. We want to get continuous feedback, testing. Continuous integration is probably the most used, but also continuous deployment and delivery, which is CI/CD, but also vulnerability scanning, monitoring, observability, infrastructure as code, and platform engineering most recently. Anything comes across, and it's a continuous loop. And we also want to get faster and more efficient with that. The problem is sometimes the pipelines are running, and they're running, or maybe they're not running and broken, but it's a good excuse to do something else, which is my previous job was kind of the excuse to stay very active in community forums and help other people and not write code. But the idea would be really, if I want to write a pipeline or CI/CD pipeline, how fast can I create a pipeline with multiple steps and jobs? How easy is it to document the usage for others to consume? Can I modularize the pipelines so they are reusable and not just copy-paste into every GitLab project? And they should also be consumable by the team, so it needs to have some sort of documentation. And then the thing is about optimization, because a pipeline is great when it runs for like 10 minutes, but maybe you can improve it to down to 1 minute or 2 minutes, or even seconds, just to make sure that you get fast feedback. And the thing is, when you have such a pipeline, never change your running system, sort of. How easy would it be to optimize it without breaking everything? Then like everyone is like, hey, Michael, you broke the pipeline again. Yeah, sorry. The idea would be, how can I discover those pipelines, those optimizations? Typically, either searching for it, how to integrate a specific tool in CI/CD. Oftentimes, or nowadays, it's asking AI or LLMs, or even using a chat prompt that searches the documentation. And ask your peers, maybe even have a developer portal inside your organization. How would you use those components, those things in your pipeline? It's probably, if there's documentation, hopefully, use that. Maybe the wiki, or sometimes it's also just reading the code. Hopefully it's open source somewhere, so that it can consume that. And when I have those components and things, I also want to make sure they are published, they are versioned, and I also want to share them with my peers. So this is a challenge. And another thought around creating reusable components or CI/CD pipelines was specifically when we looked at GitLab. And this is just one example how you can use CI/CD pipelines from different sources, from different projects. So you can, for example, use a local template to include, but you could also include a template that is specifically provided with GitLab, reference a URL from a different branch name. It's a very advanced example, but all of this works nowadays. But it can get quite complex when you try certain things to solve with that. And one of the things is sometimes when you include a template from a different source, it might come with a specific stage requirement. In this example, it's docs. But the main CI/CD pipeline doesn't have such a stage. So you cannot really create that pipeline. You get an error, and you're blocked by that. One of the ways to solve that, one of the workarounds could be, yeah, we can just add the stage, and then we have basically the doc stage in our configuration. Eventually, the included template might change the stage name, so we have duplications and whatnot. So it could work, but it's not really great. The other thing is, and this needs some extended knowledge with GitLab CI/CD, is when you include a template, you can actually override a job attribute by redefining the job and then overriding the stage attribute, which is a relatively complex topic. And I, completely honest, I didn't know that until recently, some years ago. And it makes the configuration cumbersome and not maintainable at all. So we thought about, well, if this is a problem that we cannot solve, maybe we need to find a different approach, a different thing around making CI/CD pieces or components more reusable, and started looking into defining something new, which is called CI/CD components in GitLab. And the idea is to create easy to assemble pipeline components for a consistent and repeatable workflow, and also make sure that they're shareable, reusable, and discoverable, so everyone can use them, but also contribute to those, and then essentially improve the efficiency overall. Now, what is a CI/CD component itself? It's basically a modularized job definition. It has a documented purpose, so it really needs to solve a specific problem, which is then also provided. There is a parameter specification, so sort of input and output. It's a clear design, so it kind of fits into a pipeline of boxes or connectors, if you will. You can automate the tests, so component without being tested and then used in production is probably not the best idea, so we really need to care about that. And the most important thing is also versioning, so that you can rely on a specific pinned version and not use latest, because if someone breaks latest, your entire pipeline is then broken, which doesn't make any sense. And last but not least, everyone should be able to contribute. So treat it as a GitLab project, sort of, and have merge requests so that it's the regular development workflow and not just something else proprietary. And another thing to think about was creating a catalog or a marketplace, sort of, so that you have visibility for all those CI/CD components. It's a single source of truth that can be run, can be accessed on a self-hosted instance, but also on the SaaS offerings or SaaS platform, can be public or internal, and also enables reusability for everyone. It's a shared ownership principle, so you have like the instance maintainers, you have certain GitLab maintained components upstream, but also components that are created by verified partners and also verified community contributions. Now, it's a lot of theory. We'll get into some practical examples in a bit. The adoption path is really just, if you have CI/CD configuration now and you're probably using templates, this exists today, start adopting the components themselves, so they're a reusable unit of pipeline configuration. Think about the catalog, and then some new component types are on the horizon and the future direction for that. Now, when we look into a component, it needs or requires a certain directory structure, which is relatively straightforward. So we define the template definitions inside a component. So a template is a component type, sort of, in that example. And the template then itself can have a specification, which is marked by the spec keyword, and can have metadata and inputs. And inputs are can be basically any sort of type or variable, which makes it easier to influence the behavior of that specific component. The idea here is to start a new project in GitLab and then test and release all these workflows of that component in CI/CD itself. So some sort of CI/CD inception, if you will, and not duplicate any other ways. When I want to create and consume such a CI/CD component, I thought about a practical example, like using an existing configuration that I created a while ago for testing a Rust project. This is sort of a working pipeline. You have the stages configuration. You have some default variables for image, for caching, and so on. And then create two jobs, which are really for building the Rust source code with Cargo, which is the build tool for Rust, and also test the source code itself. So it's a relatively good-looking CI/CD configuration. It works. But the thing is, how could I make this more reusable, for example, replacing latest, adjusting the cache key configuration, and so on. The first thing I need to do to make this a Rust component, or basic Rust component, is let's start with the documentation, and then create a new GitLab project, open the web IDE or any local editor, and create the directory tree, which we had before with the templates directory, which is the component type, and then inside the rust-basic.yaml file, which defines the component name without the .yaml in the end. Put in a README file or README.md how to use the component, and a .gitlab-ci.yaml file for actually testing the component. You don't need that anything else. We could probably add a license file or gitignore or something, but certainly that's about it. When we want to start moving the CI/CD configuration for the Rust component, I also would encourage you to think of a minimal valuable change, or MVC, like we call it at GitLab. Don't try to implement everything, but start with a small iteration, test it, make it work, and then continue implementing things. So for example, for this component, we don't specify any inputs yet, but we keep the spec empty, define the two jobs for the build-latest and test-latest. We only define the stage, the image, which should be a Rust container image in that example, and then the script which executes Cargo with the specific CLI commands. The template name should be rust-basic, and we didn't optimize anything yet. We just want to make sure it works in that specific sense. In order to test that, we need to consume the CI/CD component, and there are some things to understand or to keep in mind. So the idea is really to reuse everything that's already there. So you have the include keyword in GitLab, and instead of referencing a template URL, there's a new keyword called component, and this requires a specific path to the component. The idea here is to use a generic variable called CI server FQDN to ensure that it runs on any GitLab instance. So if you copy or clone a specific component from a different instance or from GitLab.com to a self-managed instance, you don't need to modify the component. It just works on the same instance. And then it's basically the URL to the component path. And then inside, you reference the template you want to use. So you need to omit the templates path from the string, which then defines basically the component you want to consume. And the last important bit on the right-hand side is the version or the git tag, which you can define with an @, which can be a git tag. It could be a commit char reference in order to use a pinned version and a tested version of that component. And that's basically the only thing you need to configure. We will see in a bit how we can use inputs, but this is something to test and work with. Now, the great thing about inputs itself is it gives us some flexibility and makes components dynamic in that specific sense that you, for example, create a variable name, you can define a default value, but you can also configure a description, which can then be auto-generated into documentation for components. And within the component or within the template, you can reference the inputs with a specific dollar double square brackets and inputs.variable name and reference that in that specific example. And the thing or the idea to start with could be, for example, modifying the stage, the stages for build and test to make it approachable and solve the initial problem from earlier and say, I want to be able to modify the stage from the outside. In order to test that, we can use the example from before, and now that we have released a new version of that component, specify the inputs and then use some different values for that. For example, overriding the test stage with build, just to see that all the jobs are now executed in the build stage and verify that the inputs are actually doing something. In that way, we can go even further and say, well, maybe there's a different, or maybe there's more that we can automate or make our instrument in that regard. For example, I want to replace the latest value in the job names and also the image names, because using Rust with the latest tag in the Docker container will always pull in the latest versions, which then breaks reproducible builds. And it's, yeah, from my own experience, it's not fun to use the latest tag because you debug and debug and debug, and then you figure out it's a compiler regression or something else. So in that sense, we want to replace that, and we can, for example, define the Rust version as an input and then use that within the component itself for the container image. But we can also use it for job names. So we can actually create dynamic job names in GitLab CI/CD. I think this is a long-term feature request, or was a long-term feature request, so that we can actually specify the Rust version in the job name and then can see that. So going back to that example, now that we have defined the Rust version, I can actually include the component multiple times just with different inputs and test different versions. So in that example, I'm able to test the latest Rust version, but also 185.1, I think, is the current one, and then even versions before. So ensuring that the source code works with different compiler versions. For Rust, it's like these specific versions, but similar for Python. I think 3.13 or 12 is the latest. And just to make sure that everything is supported and even extended further with metrics builds or parallel builds and so on. Which is, I think, a great enhancement in that regard. But this is not the end. You can even go further and optimize the CI/CD component in continuous iterations. For example, then splitting the single template, which we had before with Rust-Basic, in single templates to build and test so that users can just consume, for example, the build template or the test template, or create a smaller version of an optimized pipeline and ensure that everyone can access the specific components or template components. You can also add more inputs. Think about what could be the best value or best default value. We didn't touch on caching yet, but this is also something to consider with Rust to ensure that the builds are faster. The third point on the slide is to avoid global settings. So in GitLab, there's a default keyword, I think, which is deprecated or should be removed at some point, because the idea is really to use job templates or have that defined locally in the component to just avoid that anything interferes with the consumer pipelines and so on. Now, maintaining a CI/CD component also needs a little effort and a little time, but we try to make sure that it's relatively easy. The documentation should provide best practices, describe the purpose of the component, how to use it, and also testing and development guidelines to ensure that everyone can contribute when it's published in the catalog. A thing that changed over time was that the inputs documentation is not required to be in the documentation, but the CI/CD catalog automatically generates that from the existing YAML configuration. So when you define the inputs in that specific configuration and keep that as a single source of truth, there's no duplicated documentation effort needed, which is great because in the beginning I created all the inputs tables and then someone said, hey, you can actually replace that. And it's not outdated anymore. Testing a CI/CD component works in the same project where the CI/CD component lives, in the GitLab project. You can test different input values for different templates, and we can take advantage of predefined CI/CD variables. So in that example, we are using the specific committed reference version with the @. It took me a while to understand, but essentially when I commit a change, create a merge request, I'm always testing this specific component version and include that from the GitLab CI/CD pipeline, which allows me to update components, add more inputs, verify that the build is correct, and also ensure that when I decide to release a future version, nothing is broken in that pipeline. Which requires certain tests, of course. One thing is, when I'm building a Rust component, I also want to add some Rust code that actually gets built with cargo build, cargo run, cargo test, and so on. And the idea is to really include the source code in the components directory or components project. One simple thing could be to just run cargo init, which creates a source-main.rs file with hello world. This week, I thought about a funny example, creating some embedded sensors and some more interesting source code in that component. But the idea really is to have some production-ready code and application where you test a little more than just a Hello World application with the component, just to ensure that it works in a similar fashion as your own projects. What I then did is iterating on the existing component, adding a run template, so it's basically a new run job, and add this to the configuration, which then used the binary that was previously built and then executed that. And so it's now running it, simulating some sensors in the CI/CD pipeline, and actually has a little more impact than just a Hello World print. Okay, now when the component is ready and we want to continue publishing and maintaining it, we also need to make sure that everyone can find it. And from a visibility point of view, there's the CI/CD catalog. And in order to publish the component into the catalog, there's a setting required in a GitLab project. You add a description for the component, which then gets used in the catalog itself. And from a visibility point of view, you need to actually make this project a CI/CD catalog project, which is one toggle, you save it, and then you can continue releasing CI/CD components into the catalog. The release is automated in CI/CD itself, so you need to add one job, which then gets triggered when there is a Git tag, a Git release being added. So I just need to either use the GitLab UI to create a Git tag or use it locally on my IDE or command line, push the tag, and then the pipeline gets triggered and automatically releases the new CI/CD component version into the catalog. I don't need to do anything else. So I tested this yesterday again, and it just works. In the catalog itself, this is available on GitLab.com, but also on a self-managed instance where you can create your own components or maintain them. Don't have to be public. You can also have private components, for example. You can search in the catalog. And for the specific component, like Rust, it's not just the example which I created, but there are also community contributed and created Rust components. So I know that there is a Rust CI component which has way better or way more inputs and configuration than mine. And I was like, oh yeah, please then hopefully people or users find that Rust component and use that. And it's not just a single Rust component that everyone should be using. Certainly can sort by release date, popularity, and other things. And there's more things coming into the CI/CD catalog as well to improve the usability. From a direction point of view, the current first iteration are templates as a component type in that catalog. One of the next iterations will be steps for more reusable job pieces. We'll touch on that on the next slide. But first, I also want to highlight that more catalog resource types are being evaluated, like container images and bringing things together. Supporting inputs for pipelines is one of the big things this year. It's currently, I think, in development or already implemented to ensure that you can also use pipelines, not just for components, but a single pipeline, replacing the previously variables array, which can be sometimes a little cumbersome to configure. And there's also an FY26, which is fiscal year 26, which is 25, for pipeline modularity. So there's an epic link here where you can follow along what the teams are planning, what the teams are working on, and also would encourage your feedback and your ideas, of course. CI/CD steps is an idea, an experiment currently. So it's similar to an alpha version, I would say, not ready for production use. But the idea is not just a component and a template that can be reused, but one step in a script or in a job, similar to GitHub Actions, so that you can reuse that and replace the script action. And the idea would also be to accept inputs. It can be reused across different versions, and you can combine it with CI/CD components. So it's another step into that direction. One of the ideas also is that you can reuse existing GitHub actions, and I think GitHub actions also exist. So certainly accessing different ways what are existing in the ecosystem and ensure to create the best pipelines out there. It's currently an experiment. I've linked an epic for ideas and feedback here. We would encourage, or we would love your feedback on that as well, or even like testing it out to see if it resonates, what we can improve, and so on. From an efficiency perspective, I also wanted to share some best practices and some more things to CI/CD components and what's coming. I've mentioned the inputs, but there are also input types. So similar what you can use in the YAML configuration is not just string, but you can use a number, you can use a Boolean, can use arrays, for example, for needs or for rules or cache values. But also there are some functions available to manipulate the values. So for example, truncating a string, replacing or expanding a variable in that string. It's programming in YAML. It doesn't look so great, but it works. And if you need it, you know it's there. That's the thing about it. Certainly, sometimes inputs need a certain manipulation or making it shorter or cutting something. So it's important to know that it's possible and that you can define it. Some community contributed components, but also GitLab maintained components came up with some more dynamic input examples. So for example, arrays. You could also use it for a script section or for an after script section. So for example, you execute a job and after script is basically executed at the end of the job, cleaning up something or doing something. This can be something to add to the component as well and take advantage of that cache paths in that way, but also the string type, for example, the container image, which we mentioned before, or a dynamic job name. So some team members and users already started just with an input for the job name, and then it's really a dynamic job name depending on the input from the outside, which makes it highly dynamic. From a security standpoint, for component users, we would recommend, and this is linked to the documentation where it's explained in more detail, use the pinned versions. Think about specific security, for example, from a secrets perspective, don't pass along every environment variable with a secret into component blindly, but verify, for example, using external secrets manager or even time-based tokens with HashiCorp Vault or OpenBAO or something else, and ensure that everything is secure. Also review CI/CD component changes. So bumping a new version of that component should also follow a review. On the other side, when I'm maintaining something, when someone sends a merge request, again, review that merge request so nobody can do any sort of like supply chain attack or injection or something else. Yeah, and ensure that everyone is safe and the components are treated like a piece of important software in your DevSecOps lifecycle. From a benefits perspective, you get a lot of building blocks with like programming languages, best practices, efficiency best practices, dynamic workflows, there's version control, dependencies, and automated tests involved. And I think having a single source of truth is also great, not just copy-pasting CI/CD configuration across different projects. I want to highlight a few components that I have found in the catalog recently. There's, for example, one for Python, which is maintained by 2B Continuous, which is a group from Orange, I think. And they are maintaining a lot of CI/CD templates and now CI/CD components. So really great community contribution here. And it's not just Python. There's Docker. There's, I think there are 20 or 30 different components in the catalog. So my talk will be too long for that. The other thing I found is Docker. So I like to build container images, and sometimes it's not just Docker. I want to use Kaniko or Builder, and I have no idea how it works. It's much easier to just use a component, give it an input, and say I want to use a different container build tool. And for example, avoid becoming root on the runner to build actually a Docker container image. Another one to mention is if you're using Renovate, you can also automate that using CI/CD components from the 2B Continuous namespace group. If you use Google and the GKE, the Kubernetes deployment, this is a partner component developed by Google where you can provision Kubernetes clusters in Google Cloud. Also a great use case. If you're more into embedded, we have a partner from CodeSonar with CodeSecure, which I learned at Embedded World, where I was one last week or 2 weeks ago, for security scanning in the embedded sector. But also code quality from this is a specific open source component, which GitLab maintains, where you can integrate specific code quality scanners and ensure that the code quality remains great. There's also OpenTofu, which is maintained by GitLab. OpenTofu is a fork of Terraform. And the team is maintaining that and also integrating that into the infrastructure as code pipelines in GitLab itself. So you can fully integrate that. And the OpenTofu component is one of those. And I think is one of the highly active and highly contributed to components in the catalog. Another example is Hardware in the Loop, which is about optimizing how to test specific firmware and embedded in CI/CD. Sometimes it needs really expensive hardware, and certainly we can emulate that with microcontrollers or cloud resources. I've linked a talk here. It's a lot to learn.
Hello, everyone. My name is Darwin. I work out of GitLabs.
And this is the problem with Google Slides. Yeah, there's certainly a lot of more use cases. So I would encourage you to think about which problem or which thing is duplicated and consider starting with that use cases for your CI/CD component, whether it's a programming language or some deployment or even security scanning, something like that. Everyone can contribute. When you want to start today, here are some resources linked, how to convert specific things, guidelines. Join our community. So I'm most active in our community forum, but we also have a Discord. Ask questions, share what you have learned, and together we can create efficient pipelines. There's also an FAQ, some questions that come across in the past year. CI/CD templates are not deprecated. It's just a component type. how to get started. Sometimes think about that thing that annoys you the most in your pipeline. Start with that, or some patterns. The linting job is copy-pasted in 100 projects. Maybe consolidate that and work with the teams to consume that. Don't get confused with the steps. This is the future. For now, focus on the components. Think about adoption. Certainly the GitLab blog also has a lot of more resources and product epics as well. So to wrap it up, we get reusable self-contained building blocks with CI/CD. We can view them, we can share them, we have best practices, we have testable input parameters, which I think is also a great improvement to CI/CD itself. We can create them, maintain them together, and also inspire collaboration and transparency. So this is not just my pipeline and I need to fix it and I hate it, but really it's a team effort. And we can just ensure that everyone works efficiently together. That being said, thanks for your attention. These are the resources. So on the left-hand side, that's the slides QR code. On the right-hand side, it's me. This is a Tufti badge from the embedded world. These are all the resources. If you have any questions, we cannot do them now. But I also will be available the next 2 days, and I look forward to your feedback in English, in German, in Austrian, whatever you prefer. If it doesn't work, I can also repeat the question. So the question is, how often the CI/CD catalog gets updated by external components? I think this depends on those who are maintaining the components themselves. If they follow like a continuous release lifecycle, or when they add a new input or new parameter, releasing a new version. I've seen quite a lot of activity in that catalog. So if you sort the catalog by recently released, you can immediately see the latest versions. The things that are currently being added is like how often are these components being used in other projects to give more visibility. But I would say, it's some components are a little older but mature and stable. Others are continuously improved.
It's working?
Nice. Yeah.
So let's imagine I have a company with several projects, hundreds of projects, and I want to share my pipeline definitions. But I don't want to have my pipeline definition in the public. I want it to be protected, like just for my workers of my company. Is it possible?
Yeah, that's possible. You can create private components, which can then be authorized in that specific instance of your self-hosted GitLab instance. It's also possible within, if you have a top-level group, for example, on GitLab.com, and you use the open source project or something like that, or on a self-managed instance again, you share that same space and you can access the components in private, because sometimes you might have a security-related component or some proprietary inputs or default values or something that cannot really be shared in public. So you can create a private catalog, a private component, and only manage this locally. There's also a way to sync or to copy the components in the GitLab.com catalog, which is currently the default, just to copy it locally and then say this is my own component for my own private environment. Maybe could also be a fork, for example, if you need to do some modifications or you need to use it as a base. But generally, I would say anything that can be contributed upstream and open source would be preferred. But certainly, sometimes you really have the requirement. It needs to be private. It needs to be proprietary, safe. But I think it's a great way to inspire each other.
When I have a job in my component with inputs and I want to include it in my pipeline multiple times with different inputs, is this possible? or and how do I do this? So I have then multiple include sections, or?
Yeah, this is possible. I'm just trying to find the slide. You basically you treat it as an include, and then you can mix it, or you can use template. You can use component, and when you use component, just make sure that you have the exact URL, the path here, and then you specify different inputs. And in this example, you have, for example, the different Rust versions, latest 185.1, 184.1, 183, and everything, this included component, then creates the jobs in the pipeline. Can even expand that further on and say, well, I'm not, the Rust version is not the only one that I want to modify or test differently. Maybe I have, I don't know, a specific format or linter being able. You could also work in a way of saying, if this input is defined, this job gets executed. So make it even modular from the execution standpoint if you pass along the rules, which are a way in GitLab to control how the jobs should be executed based on a specific parameter. So it's very flexible. The reason why I didn't go in such detail is it can be overwhelming, and I want you to have that learning curve of like from simple to advanced. And when you get addicted by that, you can implement a lot of crazy things, I would say.
Thanks.
Hello, thank you for your talk. I have the question, is there any difference to a normal GitHub action in a high-level view or features or something?
Yeah, I think the idea is really in that regard that it's templates with inputs. It follows a similar way to GitHub actions. In our case, it's embedded into GitLab itself and using all the different ways you can do in the language, in the DSL. We have heard feedback that it's similar to GitHub Actions and we should integrate that. In the current architecture with how the GitLab runner and CI/CD templates are being used, it's relatively hard to merge it together, but the CI/CD steps that are actually can pull in GitHub Actions, this is a way forward in saying we support all the great features in GitLab, but if someone wants to take advantage or use a specific GitHub action, they also can do that in the future. This is something for 2025, I think, to work on, and I'm not sure about the specific product plans, but CI/CD steps currently in experiment, later on in beta and GA. I think this can be then a thing to get the best out of everything, out of both worlds. And then inspire ourselves, because if there would be no competition, there would be no innovation. So I think it's a good way forward.
Okay, thank you.
Wenn jemand lieber auf Deutsch fragen möchte, könnt ihr das machen. Wir kriegen das schon übersetzt für den englischen Stream.
Ja, also ich spreche verschiedene Sprachen. Und wir können... we can also continue in the break, so afterwards in private. I do have some stickers, I have some mints, so please, I have some swag with me. I like to share some things next to my knowledge, so please also come forward if you want some.